Our first speaker will be Jerry Pickett. She's an attorney, and she was a candidate for Attorney General for the state of New York with the Unity Party. She's a Brooklyn-based activist who's worked for many years on many issues in the community, including when I first met her through our joint work in the National Black United Front. Jerry.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. I would like to say I'm very grateful to have this opportunity to speak to you this afternoon. And I also would like to say that I'm very pissed about the fact that I spent so much time preparing my presentation, and now I find out that there's a premium in this room. So let's do the best that we can to get through this. Okay, as our moderator so said, this panel is about sexual harassment, race, gender, and power. So that's what I will be speaking to you about this afternoon. Power is an action word that involves a relationship between individuals and people. In order for sexual harassment to occur, the harasser must have power over the harassee. Usually, the male have power over the woman to use continual sexual advancement to annoy her and make her feel uncomfortable. The woman wants it to stop, but is not aware of what she can do to make it stop. In order for racism to occur, one must have power over the other race. Racism is a systematic denial of decent housing, decent jobs, quality education, quality health care, and essential services by the ruling class to people of color, oppressed people. The same phenomenon exists with regards to gender. In order for sexism to occur, one gender must have phenomenon exists with regards to gender. In order for sexism to occur, one gender must have power over the other gender. The ruling class, who are white males, use sexism to deny women control over their bodies and to deny them essentially resources. There are different degrees of power. The white ruling class have the major power in society, and based on that fact, they control the resources, the means of production, and the military in society. Nevertheless, it is imperative that we begin to understand that we have power. We must begin to understand how we can realize our power to bring about a change in ourselves, in our community, and in our world. The greatest challenge and the legacy that Malcolm left with us is how can we, as oppressed people, use our power to take the power away from our power to take the power away from the oppressor. Power that they use to control our lives and deny us essential resources. How can we as women use our power to take the power away from the males? Power that they use to control our lives. As women, how can we use our power to prevent sexual harassment? Our goal this afternoon is to raise these questions and to seek answers to these questions. Power is an energy effect. It denotes authority over oneself and others. Women in general possess a large degree of power. Black women possess a tremendous amount of unrealized power. Our power remains unrealized because too often we think of ourselves as being powerless. We're not conscious of the type of power we possess. We have an inexhaustible level of energy. Simply put, energy is power. No one will argue that it's the sisters that does the bulk of the work in the homes, the schools, and the community. It is often said during the civil rights movement, it was the women that did all the work, but we did not get the credit. Everyone knows that the church is a historical and independent institution in our society. And it is the sisters that have performed the bulk of the work to keep that institution alive and thriving today. Unlike white women, it was black women who often worked to keep the black family alive and well. Black women would do any type of job to keep her family going. When black women could not find jobs, excuse me, when black men could not find jobs because of racism, it was the woman who went out to work and to support the family. She would scrub floors, we would do anything to keep our family alive. So our history demonstrates that we have had and still have an exhaustible level of energy. As black women, we must first understand the fact that energy is power. We must take our energy and transfer it into power. How do we transfer our energy into power? Okay, by taking the credit for the work that we've been doing, that other people have been doing, then taking the credit for, we must begin to take the credit for that work. Along with doing the work, we must take on more leadership positions and make our voices heard. We must begin to make decisions in organizations as well as in our homes. These are just a few examples of how we can realize power. Make no mistake about it, but brothers and sisters, power is the key to our liberation. The big challenge is, how do we achieve power? Power comes about through unity. Without unity, there can be no power in our community. Unity is the key to the power. Unity is the key to African liberation as well as women liberation. The question is, how do we achieve unity? Okay. The question has been answered more than 25 years ago. 25 years ago, the answer to that question was laid out clearly, succinctly, and systematically by one of our great leaders of that time and of today, Dr. Malala Karanga. The answer to the question is before our eyes today. This is what makes this conference so significant. It is taking place simultaneously with the celebration of the Kwanzaa. The seven principles of Kwanzaa lays out everything that we need to do to achieve unity and liberation in our community. Now, in terms of repeating the Kwanzaa principles, I may need a little help. Okay, so let's start. Ujuma, which is the first principle. Ujuma means it's unity. It's to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. Kujakalia, self-determination, to define ourselves, name ourselves, and speak for ourselves, instead of being defined, named, created for, and spoken for by others. Unjuma, collective work and responsibility, to build and maintain our community together and make our sisters and our brother problems our problems and to solve them together. Unjuma, collective economics, to build and maintain our stores, shops, and other businesses and to profit from them together. Nia, purpose, to make our collective vocation in building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. Kumba, creativity, to do our ways as much as we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited. Umani, faith, to believe with all our hearts in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leader, and the righteousness of our victory in our struggle. These principles are not something that we should celebrate annually like we do Christmas. These principles are something we must internalize and practice every day of the year. We must quantize our soul, body, and mind. We must live, sleep, and eat by these seven principles. It is something we must do proudly. The enactment of these seven principles into our daily lives will give us control over ourselves, our community, and our resources. It will be the end of us looking outside of our community for the solution to the problems in our community. The practice of these principles will allow us to build homes for our homeless, provide jobs for our unemployed people, quality health care, and quality education to our people. Some of us have been practicing these seven principles for over 25 years. We must understand that the entire Western world does everything in its power to prevent African people from practicing these seven principles and to keep African people divided. Divided and conquer has been a game that the Europeans have played on us back in Africa. Divide and conquer leads to race discrimination and racism under capitalism. It is what the ruling class used to gain power and to keep us divided and powerless. In order for capitalism to develop, some capital had to be accumulated. Karl Marx speaks of capitalism accumulation in terms of primitive accumulation. Developed countries of the Western world obtained their capital from Africa during the 14th and 15th centuries. The capital obtained in many instances were the people from Africa. The people from Africa were taken from Africa and made into slaves and used in the West and the United States to develop and industrialize these areas. The African slaves were not paid a dime for their labor. Slaves were taken initially as prisoners of war. Different tribal groups in Africa would fight one another, and members of the losing tribe would be taken as slaves. Before the European got involved, these slaves were used in the households of the winning tribes and very often treated as members of the captaining families. After the European came to Africa, in many instances, kidnapped the Africans and took them away on the Miller Passage. The Miller Passage is where the dehumanization process began for the Africans. They were forced on these slave ships, put in chains, packed tightly, and treated like animals. Following the capture of the Africans, as Walter Rottnest points out in his book, How European Underdeveloped Africa, Africa was stripped of its most productive people. Most of the young, productive, and creative people were taken and made into slaves. Only the very young and the very old was left in Africa. After the slaves were taken from the African continent, made into slaves, and stripped of their identity, their names, their religion, and their culture were all taken away, after this process was consolidated, then the Europeans began to write and produce books about how dumb and stupid we were. They said the Africans needed to be civilized accordingly to them. They began a campaign to justify their illegal and inhumane action of the dehumanizing and enslaving the Africans. The period of the 14th and 15th century of the slave trade laid the foundations for two things. The supply of capital to the West to develop their society and their economy under the system called capitalism. It led the foundation for racial discrimination. Since the Africans had to be made to appear inhuman and inferior, it was unlogical and, of course, profitable, and the correct thing to do was to treat them differently. Capitalism is an economic system of private ownership of the means of production by a few. The system operates for the benefit of a large amount of profit going to a few people at the expense of a large number of people called proletarian or workers. Workers are pitted one against the other. Thus, race and racism is used by the ruling class to maximize their profit. Black workers and black people are treated differently by the ruling class and white workers and white people. Racism is a fundamental part of capitalism. It is used to divide the working class. Gender, just as race is used to divide workers, so is gender. Women are treated differently under capitalism to justify the maximization of profit. The exploitation and oppression of women is done for the benefit of the ruling class. However, the manifestation of sexism take a different form than racism. The ownership and control of women began with the private ownership of property. As men began to accumulate private property, the need arose to pass the private property onto their children. Thus, we have the beginning of monogamous marriage. On the monogamous marriage, women are forced to deal with only one male, but the male is still free to involve himself with many women as he so desired. But unfortunately, with the coming of AIDS, I think that they're seriously thinking about that, and hopefully they will get to choosing one partner. As African women, we are challenged by a triple level of oppression. Usually, we are the lowest paid for our labor services, thus we are the poorest. We are subjected to racism because of our color, and we are subjected to sexism because of our gender. All of this means that we must be in the forefront of collectively organizing to bring about changes in our lives and society. We must collectively use our power to change our views about ourselves and eliminate all negative opinions of ourselves and other sisters. Sexism is a phenomenon we must begin to understand and take control of. The brothers can only oppress the sisters by the sisters giving him that power. Sexual harassment is continual unwanted sexual advancement done for the specific purpose to annoy. It is a situation that no woman should live with or tolerate. The question is, how do we prevent it from happening? We may not be in a position to prevent it from happening initially, but we are in a position from keeping it to continue to happen. As women, we must begin to become aware of the power we possess. Beyond a doubt, we are sometimes victims, but we must not take on a victim mentality and feel helpless and powerless. We are powerful people, and we must become aware of that power and realize that power by taking full control of our lives. As we change our perception about ourselves, we will bring about a change internally, and internal change will prepare us to take the necessary action to bring about the change externally. In conclusion, I would like to say we must take advantage of every opportunity we have to affect other people's views about us. We must demand more of ourselves and demand more from other people. We must not allow people to take advantage of us and disrespect of us, regardless of who they may be, white male, white women, black males, or even black women. We must take control, and we must begin to realize that we have power and realize that power. Thank you.